Paramedics covered his mangled body with the tarp. The Dick Honorecker, a minister, stopped and asked the paramedics if he could pray for Don.
I walked over by the door. Great physical damage on the outside. And I laid my hands on him and began to pray for him.
As he prayed over the body, a sound came from beneath the tarp. Don Piper was alive.
Well, a man was praying for him. He felt led of the Lord to get in the car. It was an awful accident and a very, very heavy damage in the car. And certainly on me, I was killed instantly. And he crawled under a tarp. They'd covered the body up with a tarp, placed his hands on me and began to pray for me because he just felt God told him to do so. So he was obedient. Now, many other people had been notified I'd been in an accident as well, but they didn't tell him I died. Mm-hmm. So they were praying for me only with the knowledge of the accident itself. So that went on for quite some time, and 90 minutes after the accident happened, he was singing the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," holding on to me under the tarp in the dark, because we were under the tarp together, and suddenly I started singing the hymn with him. And he got out of the car really fast, because he was very frightened and excited.
Because a dead man was singing with him again.
The dead man was singing, that's exactly right.
A dead man was singing. This audio comes from the 700 Club broadcast. It's all about this book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, by Don Piper. And this is no kook. This is no individual who isn't well known or has a great amount of integrity. In fact, Don Piper is an ordained minister. In fact, he has been a pastor of a number of churches. But he had a terrible car accident. They said he was dead. His friend prayed for him. It appears he came back to life, spent over a year in the hospital in recovering, and now has written this book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, a true story of death and life. It's on the New York Times bestseller with over 2 million copies sold, and that's what we're going to be talking about on this Thursday, February the 21st, 2008. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel. Our numbers here are 505-7850. Or 1-800-730-2727. Now, Don Piper talks about what he saw when he arrived into heaven.
The reality and the majesty and the bliss of heaven itself. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for those who know him and love him. And that's exactly what I experienced. I was surrounded by people I had known and loved in life, who had preceded me. Every single one of them had had a spiritual impact on my life. So here I was now surrounded by these people, some relatives, some friends, some teachers, but every one of them had influenced me for Christ by telling me about Jesus, taking me to church, living a Christ-like life in front of me. And they were all around me, and they looked really, really good. If you want to look good, heaven is the place you want to be. And they were all perfect in every way, blemishless, as was I. I mean, I was very mangled in the automobile accident back on earth, but I didn't have a scratch on me in heaven. I believe the only one in heaven with scars is Jesus, to remind the rest of us of how we got there. So I saw these people, and there were magnificent gates. There were indeed golden streets. There was incredible music, not only in quality, but quantity. I've never heard such music before or since. Heaven is the most real thing I've ever experienced.
The most real thing he's ever experienced, or did he experience? You know, I don't know why nobody's ever mentioned this. I'll just start off with it. If this is true, that this is an individual who died and then came back to life after he went to heaven, in my understanding of the Bible, this is the first person ever who was resurrected from the dead after he went to heaven. Oh, I know what some of you are saying. Wait a minute. There were others. Wasn't Lazarus raised from the dead? Yes, he was raised from the dead by Jesus, but there's no account of all that he had gone to heaven. The Apostle Paul has a vision of heaven and indicates that he cannot have words to describe what he saw, but he hadn't died, gone to heaven, and then come back. It was much like the vision of heaven that John in the book of Revelation has. He has a tremendous vision of heaven. In fact, he even talks about it, that he was on the island of Patmos, P-A-T-M-O-S. This is where he had been exiled. And then he had this tremendous vision of all of these things. He even talks about that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. Now, what he is talking about here is that he had a vision, but he was alive. He hadn't died and gone to heaven. Could we say that possibly Don Piper really didn't die, that he just had a vision? Or do we have to say he also died and went to heaven and then came back? Well, I'm a biblical theologian, which means I analyze what people say theologically on the basis of the Word of God. Time and time again, Don Piper throughout his book indicates that what he experienced was real. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Of course, he has a number of individuals who disagrees with it, and we're going to hear how he responds to his skeptics in a moment. But what I want to talk about right now is the book. The book is over 200 pages long. But don't go out and buy it thinking that you're going to have 200 pages of talking about heaven. I've read the book, and of the 200 pages of his experience in heaven, there are only 16 pages. Then what else is the book about? Well, the first 20 pages talk about the accident. He actually was driving a car, going home from a religious meeting, and a prisoner was driving a truck illegally. He had volunteered to drive the truck in the prison, but he didn't have the proper license. And unfortunately, there was a head-on crash with Don Piper. He spent over a year in the hospital, and by and large, the rest of the book is all about his hospital stay and his attitude during that time. He really wanted to die many times because of the seriousness of the accident. He was in constant pain. However, what I found interesting is that during the time of his constant pain in the hospital, he wasn't sure whether the events that he was experiencing in the hospital were true or whether he was hallucinating. I find that really interesting, that he talks about the possibilities of hallucinating while he's in the hospital. For example, on page 57, he says, "Am I really here, or am I just imagining this?" Now remember, this is talking about the hospital. He talks about on page 60 that he was disoriented from the pain and the medication. "I was so out of it that I first had to establish in my mind that David, who entered the room, was real. Am I hallucinating this?" I asked myself. In fact, on page 66, he says, "Most of those first days remain a blur to me. I wasn't sure if people really visited me or if I only hallucinated. I sometimes, from what Eva and the nurses told me," Eva is his wife, "was delirious." Now, I found numerous times when he admits that while he was in the hospital, he really couldn't realize what was happening around him. And he wasn't sure whether he was hallucinating. Things remained a blur to him. So how do we decide that he wasn't hallucinating prior, while he was in the car? I have great difficulty in coming to the conclusion that Don Piper had really died. Human beings have ways in measuring death. It is of some interest to note that the paramedics who arrived on the scene, although they did try to find a pulse and did not find one, thought for sure he was dead because of the mangled way in which his body was. He almost had lost an arm and a leg. And in fact, when the other pastor came to go over to pray for him, they told him, no, it's not worth it. He's dead. Look it. It's a horrible thing. And I get the impression, and of course, he's writing the book, probably from what he had been told by those who had arrived at the accident, that everyone thought he was dead. You know, just because you can't feel a pulse doesn't mean you've died. Now, I'm going to use a little bit of my own experience here. When I was a youngster, and I would get a fever at times. In fact, I got quite ill a number of times until my appendix came out. And since then, it's been a long time since I've really been ill. So whether or not it was part of the appendix that needed to come out or whatever, but I used to get ill, and I remember lying in bed and going to sleep, and boy, did I have some strange dreams. The one dream I had, I was in a large room. It was white walls, and the walls were totally spongy. I don't know if you ever had a dream like that. But, of course, I could recount many other things that I felt. And when I woke up, I really felt that had happened. Now, today, anytime, I kind of like nightmares. You may laugh at that, but you know why I like nightmares? It's because when you wake up, they're not true. And you just feel so good. In comparison, say that something really happened that was a tragedy in your family. And you go to bed that night and you wake up. And for a moment, you've forgotten about it. Then you remember it and you wish, oh, I wish it had never happened. But it's not a nightmare. It's real. I don't get nightmares very often. It's usually after I eat something that I probably shouldn't be eating. But anyway, how many times have you had a dream and just been sure that it was real until you start to think about it? But let's assume that God can take somebody to heaven and bring them back, because God can do anything. The first thing I would say is that I would want to really listen carefully to what the person has to say. And that's what we're going to examine. What does he say about heaven that is new? But just before we do that, skeptics like myself are numerous in regard to this event, and Don Piper does respond to his skeptics.
Several things that made it particularly real for me. For one thing, I experienced things there I didn't expect to experience. I even saw people there I didn't expect to see there.
Really?
And so in a very real sense, there were a lot of things that happened while I was there that exceeded anything I had ever read or even thought about mm-hmm. before it happened. So it became an even more real experience than what I would have imagined if I were imagining it. It is the most real thing I've ever had happen to me. Mm-hmm. But it's a faith process. You're not going to convince somebody about the reality of heaven unless you convince them about the reality of Christ. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know he lived. And he's the only way to go there. So because I knew him, when the truck hit me, I went to heaven because I knew the way. Jesus is the way. That's what he said. When they asked him, how do we get to heaven? Yeah. He said, I am the way. Mm. So I went because I knew the way.
Where's that in the Bible? That a person is going to go to heaven when they have a serious car accident because they know the way. If I remember the Bible, it is destined for man to die once and then be raised from the dead. As far as I know in the history of the church, outside of Lazarus and a few others in the Bible who were raised from the dead, none of them ever went to heaven. This would be the first time ever. Now, the point I want to make, and he said it here, is that I know it was true because there were some experiences that I saw that I didn't know about. So there's only two chapters in the entire book that talks about his time in heaven. Even though the book is over 200 pages long, it's chapters 2 and 3, pages 21 to 36. They're actually only about 15 full pages, but say 16 pages. 16 pages. Now, I'm just going to say this, unless those of you who have read this have found something that I didn't find. I didn't see anything that he experienced that's already not revealed in the Bible. Now, I'll say that again. I didn't see anything that he reports as having experienced that is not somewhere in the Bible. What I find interesting about the whole book, and even his experience in heaven, he never saw Jesus Christ, which I found very interesting. He did see a lot of his friends, and those friends indicated to him that they were joyous to see him. If he says it once, he says it a number of times, that what he was experiencing he could not put into words. The best way I can explain it, page 25, is to say that I felt as if I were in another dimension. Throughout the experience in chapters 2 and 3, that there's no doubt, I feel that he contradicts himself again and again. For instance, on page 25, he says, "Over and over I heard how overjoyed they were to see me and how excited they were to have me among them." These are the friends he meets in heaven. Then he goes on and says, "I'm not sure if they actually said the words or not." He talks about that in heaven there is no sense of time passing. And yet, there's a chronological order in which the things happened in heaven. First, meeting all these people, then being taken to the gate, where there's a luminous light that is so very bright. There's no doubt that the Bible talks about glory in heaven. The Bible talks about seeing those of our loved ones who believed in Jesus Christ. That there's no indication at all about anyone in heaven that was not a Christian. But on the other hand, there's no indication that they all were Christians either. Now, I'm assuming Don Piper believes they were all Christians. What I find interesting, verse 27, and this is where things get a little different than what I think heaven is like. "These people embraced me no matter which direction I looked. I saw someone I had loved and who had loved me." There were no enemies in heaven that he had had. There were no people that he had had arguments with. I mean, there's a lot of people that I expect to be in heaven that have not loved me. Maybe he even challenged me, criticized me. This is what makes me think that after a tremendous accident where, while he was awake in the hospital, he thought he was hallucinating a number of times, why could this not be hallucinations? How many times have we looked forward to something and then dreamed about it that night? Now, the reason I want to mention that Don Piper is an ordained minister since 1985 is because as an ordained minister, he therefore studied the Bible. And he knows a lot about heaven. And so we ought not be surprised that many of the things he says about heaven are already found in the Bible. The main thing is the light. Everything was brilliantly intense. A brilliance that was brighter than any light that had surrounded him up to that point. The other thing besides the light, and remember, he never sees God, he never sees Jesus Christ, he only sees other human beings. But the other vivid memory of what he heard was not only a swoosh of wings. Now, he says it was a swoosh of wings. That means a sound of wings. Later on, he even refers to them as angels. They were right above him, but he never looked up. He says on page 30, I never saw anything that produced the sound. In the very next paragraph, the most amazing, however, was the angel's wings. I didn't see them, but the sound was a beautiful, holy melody with a cadence that seemed never to stop. The second thing he says he heard was music. Now, what bothers me a little bit is that when heaven is talked about, who are you going to be meeting in heaven that's really going to bring you joy is none other than Jesus Christ. Don Piper never meets Jesus Christ, never even sees God. He's not even sure the luminous light at the gate is God. And everything he says about heaven, including the music, is talked about in the Bible. Now, I'd be more than willing to be challenged on something new that's found in these two chapters that you can't find in the Bible. But one of the problems that I found was when he talked about the music, there was something he didn't hear. And he even gives a reason why he didn't hear it. And I believe that this is a contradiction of the scripture. And we're going to talk about that when we get back from the break. What we're looking at is 90 Minutes in Heaven by Don Piper. He calls it a true story of his having died, gone to heaven, and then returned to earth. If you'd like to call me, the numbers are 505-7850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. I'm wondering on the New York Times bestseller list, I forgot to look up this category, as to whether or not they put this down as fiction or nonfiction. I think they probably put it down as fiction, but I have to say, Don Piper does not think it is fiction.
Depression can send a person spiraling downward in all areas of life. Hi, I'm Dr. Mark, host of Life Revised. Join my new co-host, Barb McCone, and me as we discuss the symptoms and causes of depression. Discover how you or a loved one can experience hope and healing with proper care and treatment. Join us for Life Revised, because life is a series of revisions.
Saturday mornings at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
On the next Focus on the Family, listen to an unforgettable story of hope after a childhood filled with neglect and physical and sexual abuse.
I had what you'd call a wonderful life. No more hunger, no more getting thrown out of the house. But I tell you, I still wanted to die.
On the next Focus on the Family with Dr. James Dobson.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
This is Dr. Bill Meyer with the James Dobson Family Minute. If you're a typical parent, I'm sure there are days when you wonder if you can do anything right. My colleague Dr. James Dobson comments on how kids respond to the mistakes that their parents make.
One of the wonderful things about children is they are resilient, and also that God has redundancy built into parenting where you can make a lot of mistakes and have kids turn out right.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
That he can make up for our failures and faults and shortcomings, and with prayer he will.
There is a lot of encouragement in those words from Dr. Dobson. So don't give up. Do the best you can, and with God's help, your kids won't just survive, but thrive in the days ahead. Meanwhile, keep working on becoming a better mom or dad and strengthen your parenting skills. We can help you do that with a great assortment of parenting tools at our special parenting website, focusonyourchild.com.
AM 850 KFUO is grateful for those of you who support our radio ministry. Today we say thanks to Roger and Dee Thake of Baldwin, Missouri, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold, Jim and Mary Cruda of Collinsville, Illinois, and Earl and Marianne Nelson of St. Louis. Your generous support helps make the programming on AM 850 KFUO possible.
Martian Child. It's been called one of the best family films of the year. Now on DVD, and we're giving away a free copy on The Morning Show on AM 850 KFUO. John Cusack stars in this inspirational and uplifting journey as a lonely science fiction writer who adopts a boy who claims to be from Mars. And with the help of his quirky friend Amanda Peet and his sister Joan Cusack, this new father discovers that being a parent means anything is possible. Listen and win a free copy of Martian Child on The Morning Show on AM 850 KFUO.
Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, will be hosting the Prepare Enrich Workshop March 8th, beginning at 8:30 in the morning. Workshop topics include communication, conflict resolution, families of origin, finances, sexuality, spiritual beliefs, and many more. The workshop will be led by the Reverend Jeffrey Schubert. Call Concordia Seminary for more information on the Prepare Enrich Workshop March 8th on their campus. Registration deadline is February 25th.
The Contemporary Christian Music Ministry from Zion Lutheran Church, Litchfield, Illinois, will present the 17th annual production of The Promise. This epic musical drama is based on the biblical account of the birth, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in a contemporary musical setting. Dates of the performances are February 29th through March 9th. There is no charge for the drama. Reservations can be made by visiting thepromiselitchfield.com.
I drove across the lake onto an old bridge that's still there, and before I cleared that bridge, an 18-wheeler crossed the center stripe and hit my small car head-on, and I was killed instantly. I'm very conscious of the fact that life can end at a fraction of a second. It happened to me.
On a cold January day in 1989, at precisely 11:45 a.m., an 18-wheeler driven by a Texas state prisoner rolled over the small car at a combined speed of 110 miles an hour.
Not only did the truck hit Don's car, it ran over the passenger side of the small Ford Escort, completely crushing the vehicle and killing Don Piper. Instantly, Don began an amazing journey.
I was immediately transported to the gates of heaven and surrounded by people I had known in life who had preceded me. And I recognize them. I tell people it was a buffet for the senses. The aroma, the sights, the sounds. I heard the wings that hovered above me. I heard music that I never heard on earth. And they were all singing glory to God songs, hallelujah songs, praise songs. And they were all doing them simultaneous, and there was no chaos.
That audio comes from the publisher's promo for the book. In fact, there's a little bit more on the back of the page. What we're taking a look at on Law and Gospel today is 90 Minutes in Heaven by Don Piper, as he really believes that he actually died, went to heaven, and then was returned to earth, made alive again, of course, because he had been pronounced dead. And then this book is 200 pages of his experience, but not in heaven. It's only 16 pages of that. The other 200 is what happened in the hospital room. If you'd like to phone me on this, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's go talk to Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hi.
How can I help you, sir?
Well, I was just kind of wanting to get your opinion about the matter of what you're talking about right now. Kind of the same experience happened to me. But I was actually walking across the street, and I got hit by a big-sized dually truck. And I was in a coma for 3 months. And in that period, I really think that I spent about a couple minutes in heaven. And before that accident, I had no connection with Jesus or God or you know, no spiritual beliefs of that matter. And I was just kind of wanting to get your opinion about why I would have been in the presence of God if my age was still considered an adolescent to him, if he was trying to show me that there was still a chance that I could, you know, fix what I had done wrong with my life, because there was some things that I weren't really doing right at the time.
Well, you're in the same boat as I am, Michael. We're always not doing things right. But help me here a little bit. How did you come to the conclusion? What experience was it that you were undergoing that made you think that this was heaven?
Well, I saw my grandmother, and she told me a few things, and just the bright lights and complete joy that was coming out, seemed like it was coming out of every single pore of my body, and just, you know, people praying and worshiping, and the words worship, worship, worship. I mean, it seemed like nothing other than heaven.
Michael, now, were you declared dead at any time?
No,
what I was thinking. This happened while you were in a coma.
Yeah, I was in a coma for 3 months.
Okay, now see, what Don Piper is saying is that he actually died, that he was totally gone from this place. I can understand being in a coma. Now, if you said you saw your grandmother and she had spoken to you about certain things, you knew your grandmother when she was alive here on Earth?
Yes.
And she was a Christian then?
Well, actually, I never really, I was like one whenever she died. So
see. So you never really knew her?
No.
Were your parents Christians?
My father was always a somewhat Christian, but until about 10 or 15 years ago, he really started, you know, getting heavily. He's a pastor now.
Oh, wow. So when did this happen to you, Michael? How many years ago?
About six or seven years ago.
So your father was a pastor for over 8 years before you had this experience.
Well, he just, about 4 or 5 years ago, he became a pastor, but
yes,
about 10 to 15 years ago, he started really, you know, living the words of God.
So you were aware of that prior to the accident. Can you tell me something that you experienced as you feel in heaven or about heaven that you didn't know or nobody had told you before?
I didn't know anything about heaven.
Well,
I did never talk to my dad about it because I just had no interest in it.
Yes, I understand that, Michael. I guess I'm asking, what did you learn then about heaven that was really new to you? Did you see Jesus?
No.
Okay. What kind of experience, outside of your grandmother and this great feeling of joy and peace, was there any specific thing about heaven that no one had ever told you about before?
No, I guess not.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, Michael, as I'm listening to you, it certainly seems that God considers you one of his favorites, because regardless of whether or not this really was heaven or whether this was God working in you during the coma, it's really made a difference in your life, hasn't it?
Yes, I am a true believer in God now, and I try as hard as I can to do the things that he wants me to do.
I know, Michael, but are you kind of like me, that we keep failing all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the forgiveness of sins is yours. And I'll tell you, the day that you and I really die, you're going to come face to face with Jesus, who will invite you and welcome you into the heavenly places. And you will have that joy that you feel you experienced then. You will have that for an eternity.
That's how I've kind of thought that that's what he wanted me to feel and know that that was always there as an option. I kind of felt that that was what I thought, that why he did that or why that happened.
Yeah, I am not going to judge God's mind why that particular experience you have went through. All I can say is that God sure used it to make you one of his adopted children, didn't he?
Yes.
God bless you, Michael.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling. Now, Michael's experience that he had is somewhat different than Don Piper's, because Don Piper insists that he really died. If Michael had insisted that he died, or that at least there was some understanding on the part of the doctors where they declared him dead, this would be more closely. But there's no doubt that at times, are we going to say that God cannot help us in our minds to see things about him or know things about him or experience things about him, that God's not capable of doing that? No, I'm not going to stand or sit here, I'm sitting down, and say that. But now, if Michael had said, and this is why I was really pressing him, that in heaven he did see Jesus, and Jesus said, Michael, if you start obeying me perfectly, you'll come back here, then I would have said to Michael, no, you weren't in heaven, you were in hell. You see, what I find interesting is Michael and even Don Piper, I challenge you to read sections of the New York Times bestseller, 90 Minutes in Heaven. Is there anything in here that we already don't know from the scripture? And in Michael's case, there appeared to be nothing he learned about heaven specifically. So I'm going to leave what he experienced up between him and God. We just rejoice that whatever it was, there's just no doubt. Now, why would I say that if somebody phones up and tells me that Jesus said, yes, if you go back to earth and you begin to obey my will and do so fully, you'll be back in heaven, why do I say that that person would have been in hell? Because Jesus did not come to condemn the world. That would be a word of condemnation to me. If I heard from Jesus, okay, Tom, I've given you this experience where you're now in joy. How would you like to have that for an eternity? Oh, yeah. Well, then you just go back and you be perfect. And you should be able to be perfect now, because look what you've just seen. I'll tell you this. Michael is just like me. And it was very brave for him to call in. I really appreciate that. And also admit that he still can't do the things he wants to do. Michael, you're in good company, not only with me, but the guy I was like looking to is the Apostle Peter. Peter was there when Jesus died on the cross. Peter was there when Jesus rose from the dead. Peter was there when Jesus ascended into heaven. He experienced all that. And then one day, years later, when some Jews from Jerusalem were coming to visit where he was staying with some Gentiles, Peter refused to eat with the Gentiles when the Jews showed up because he didn't want to upset the Jews. And Paul had to take him to task because he was denying justification by grace through faith. How dare he set apart a group of people as not being worthy to eat with just because some self-righteous Jewish Christians are coming and they're going to get all upset if Paul is eating with some Gentiles. No. Paul really hit it correctly that Peter was wrong in what he did. I think I said Paul. Paul was the one who chastised Peter. So this is really true. If God gave every one of us an experience of what heaven could be like, whether it's joy in our hearts or peace or whatever in our dreams tonight, I guarantee you that within a few hours after that tremendous dream and experience, you will sin. So, when I heard about this book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, what is there that is in this book that's going to tell me something new that I was unaware of in regard to heaven? Now, he does say some things that I think are a real problem. Because the Bible appears to disagree with it. The Bible doesn't have that much to say about what actually goes on in heaven, but every now and then it does. Listen to this. He's talking about this music. And by the way, I consider Don Piper to be an excellent writer. As I was reading through this, I really hope heaven is like he's explaining it. For example, he talks about music, hearing all kinds of sounds, but he was able to distinguish between the individual hymns and even the new ones he had never heard before and could understand the words. Now, there's no doubt there's music in heaven because it talks about the choruses and the singing and all this, and that he would be singing with a perfect voice. But here's one paragraph that really bothered me. As I stood before the gate, I didn't think of it, but later I realized that I didn't hear such songs as the old rugged cross or the nail-scarred hand. None of the hymns that filled the air were about Jesus' sacrifice or death. Now, as soon as I read that, I said, whoa, that's not correct. I'm going to sing you the song in heaven. No, this is the song that the heavenly host sang when Jesus ascended into heaven. It's found in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Now you listen to this. They sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood." In fact, later on, the whole chorus of elders and 10,000 times 10,000s, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain," verse 12. The Bible, when it does give examples about hymns in heaven, the examples are that Jesus died on the cross. Now, why did Don Piper not hear that? You see, I don't think it's because in heaven they're never going to be sung. "Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, when I survey the wondrous cross, O sacred head now wounded." We're never going to sing those in heaven? I think it would be a great joy to sing those in heaven as we're looking at the resurrected Christ standing before us. But the fact is, guess what? They do sing those songs. Now, why does he explain that he never heard those songs? "None of the hymns that fill the air were about Jesus' sacrifice or death. I heard no sad songs and instinctively knew that there were no sad songs in heaven. Why would there be? All were praises about Christ's reign as King of Kings and our joyful worship for all he has done for us and how wonderful he is." You see, I think that statement contradicts itself. You can't possibly sing praises to Christ as King of Kings for all he has done for us without mentioning the cross. See, he says none of the hymns that fill the air were about Jesus' sacrifice or death. And yet I just pointed out two hymns in heaven sung at the ascension that was all about Jesus' sacrifice and death. Now, he thinks they're sad songs. I think this shows something. It shows his preconceived notion. Because he's not Lutheran, he's of the Baptist persuasion, and of a Baptist persuasion, though they'll sing those songs here on earth, for them, victory, Jesus as King of Kings, this is the emphasis as we move closer and closer to him. And they wouldn't want to be singing songs about his death because they're now in heaven. Whereas for Lutherans, we'll be singing with great gusto, "O sacred head now wounded, when I survey the wondrous cross." Here's where his theology has kept whatever was happening, whatever that experience was, whether it was hallucinations or just dreaming, or as I've said, how many times have you gone to bed thinking about something and you have a dream about it? What really bothers me to a degree is when I wake up from a dream, even if it felt true, I know that it's really not true, and it doesn't increase my faith in Jesus Christ. You see, either the scripture is correct, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for all things, which means it's sufficient, or else I have to be buttressed by something I experience. What we're really talking about here, and I'm really speaking to the Michaels of the world who have had this experience, if they really think about it, it's really the reason they believe in Jesus Christ right now is because of their faith, not just in that experience, but in the words that Jesus died for Michael, that he paid the sins of Michael, and that every sin that Michael and Tom continue to do is forgiven, and heaven is our home for sure. As a pastor, I'm simply trained that I would never share with my members something I experienced in order to strengthen their faith. The Holy Spirit has indicated that the way faith is strengthened is through word and sacrament, because my testimony may have strengthened my faith. For instance, when my son was killed, there's no doubt my faith grew during that time. But I'm not going to recommend that you have your son die in order to get your faith increased. It was increased because of the many words of Scripture that were heard at the funeral and from friends. That's what increased the faith, not the experience or the event of your son dying. We've got one more item that we're going to hear right now from Don Piper as he answers the question of why people are fascinated with his story about heaven.
They're looking for hope. People want hope in this life and in the life to come. And both of my books have been about not only heaven and the reality of heaven, that you could go there, but having a meaningful life until you go there. Mm-hmm. You know, and so people are looking for that eternal hope, but they're also looking for hope now. Yeah. Many people have gone through extraordinarily difficult times, a tragedy, a loss, a disaster, and they're wondering, how do I get through this life? And I want to give them hope about that too. I had to figure that out because I had 34 operations, was in a hospital bed for 13 months, and I needed some hope about the rest of my life. And so in a very real sense, that's what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. Immediate hope, what I call a new normal, and eternal hope, which is heaven that Jesus is preparing for us right now. So they're looking for hope, and I'm trying to do that in everything I do and say.
I think that is tremendously revealing as we heard this audio from the 700 Club, and we thank them for that. That last part was just so explanatory. I'm trying to give them hope in everything I do and say. I can't give anybody hope from what I do. I don't even get hope for myself from what I do. You see, there are a lot of people who've gone through many, many surgeries. They've gotten through them. They fought through them. And they really have made a meaningful life after that. And the people I'm talking about are not even Christian. What you have here is really a distinction between biblical theology that is objective and a subjective theology that clearly Baptists hold to. For a Baptist, how do you know that you are saved? We talked about this yesterday. Well, let me tell you, first of all, how a Lutheran knows that he or she is saved. We look to our baptism. That there's nothing I've done, nothing I've said, nothing I've thought, no choice I've made. But I want you to hear what Don Piper said. Now, this is after he's gone to heaven. It would seem to me that if you ever had a real experience of heaven, the first thing you would do is become really humble And what I mean by being humble is you would never give any credit to yourself for saving yourself. Don't you think that's really going to happen? I mean, when I finally see God as he really is, I will be so embarrassed of the thousands of times in my life that my pride welled up within me thinking I am somebody. It's found on page 196. And as I was reading through the book, I knew it would be found. It was just 10 pages from the end. Let me read the paragraph. Going to heaven that January morning was not my choice. The only choice in all of this, is that one day I turned to Jesus Christ and accepted him as my Savior. How sad. How sad that somebody who's been to heaven still doesn't get it. Still takes credit for his salvation. This is what we call the theologian of glory. And I've got it within me also. That's why I will never, if I can help it, use an experience I have ever had to try and give you comfort over this radio station. The only comfort, the only hope that I can give you are the clear words of Holy Scripture, the assurance of salvation and baptism in the Lord's Supper. Whether this really happened or not, I have no idea. But if it did happen, if this man really did go to heaven and come back, then there are some things here that he's going to be surprised at when he gets to heaven for sure, because he's going to change his mind. And the most important thing he's going to change his mind on is he's going to give all the credit for his salvation to Jesus Christ. I'm Tom Baker. Stay with us. We're going to be back right after the break.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, Monday through Friday at 1:05 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.